Once again, God has seen fit, according to his own purpose and grace, that we gather together in this assembly to hear and study another portion of his holy and divine word. So good to see each and every one of you out here on this afternoon, especially if you are visiting with us and you're not members of Churches of Christ. We just want you to know that here at the Church of Christ, we love to have visitors, and we pray that it shows. Because there were many places you could have been on a Sunday afternoon, but you made the choice to come to the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If you have your personal copy of God's word, please turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the chapter is 7. We're going to begin reading with verse 24 and read down to verse 27. So again, the book is Matthew, the chapter is 7, and the verses are 24 through 27. If you have it, let it be known by saying amen. Reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible, there you will find these words. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Based upon the words of Jesus in his conclusion of what is called the Sermon on the Mount, I would like to take this moment and draw upon the blackboards of your minds and preach from the subject, which comes in the form of a question. And that question is, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear? Earlier, I was hearing crying babies. Did you hear that? Do you hear what I hear? In our scriptural text, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that man is placed in two categories. One of two categories, rather. Either man is wise or man is foolish. Jesus says if we hear what he says and do what he says, then he will consider us wise. But if we hear what he says and don't do what he says, then the Lord will consider us foolish. Unfortunately, the problem we have in religion today is people claiming to hear Jesus and obey Jesus, but we are all doing different things. Think about this for a moment. If you hear what I hear, then we will all be hearing the same thing. If you don't hear what I hear, then why don't you hear what I hear? If I just happen to disagree with you, then why don't I hear what you hear? If we all look at the same source, if we all look at the Bible, if we all look at the Word of God, then we all should be hearing the same thing. If not, then why not? If I say I hear Jesus, and you say you hear Jesus, then we ought to be in agreement with what we are hearing. We ought not to have conversations in which I say, well, I read the Bible and I heard Jesus say this. And you say, well, I read the Bible too, but I didn't hear him say that. One of three conclusions is correct. Either I'm right and you're wrong. Either you're right and I'm wrong, or we're both wrong because we both can't be right. Even though people in religion say, you have your faith, I have my faith, you know, it really doesn't matter, we just disagree, but we're both right. That's impossible. If you say 2 + 2 = 4 and I say 2 + 2 = 5, how are we both right? Either one of us are right and the other is wrong, or we're both wrong. But we both cannot be right. There should be no religious confusion among us if we all claim to be hearing Jesus. So the question has to be asked, why do we have confusion in religion today? Well, there's two main reasons why we have confusion in religion. The first one is many do not know how to hear. Did you hear that? Many people do not know how to hear. See, as free moral agents, we really need to check ourselves. Are we really listening? Unfortunately, I do a lot of marital counseling. And the reason why I do marital counseling is because a lot of couples, they get married because they're just so much in love with this person. You know, oh, I love him and he loves me and we're going to be together for life. But honey, he doesn't have a job. That's okay. You know what I'm saying? She has 12 kids. They all got different last names. It don't matter. We're just in love. How long you known this person? 2 weeks, but that's good enough for me. We're going to make it work. You know, and then when I say, well, maybe you need to meet the older person a little more, and then they say, well, preacher, you only knew your wife for 24 hours, you know? But here's the deal. People get married, and then when they get married, they all of a sudden have to go through marital counseling because they don't get along. All this love that they had for each other, now all of a sudden it turns into arguments, and then they don't want to talk to the preacher until they've already made up in their mind that they're going to get a divorce. And then when they talk to me and their bubble gets burst, in which I say, you can't do that. What do you mean I can't do that? I already made up in my mind I'm leaving this guy. I've already made up in my mind I'm leaving this gal. But then what happens is that they begin to talk to one another and they begin to talk to me, and all of a sudden I say, they may say something, and then the husband comes up with something that she didn't say. And vice versa. The husband says something, then the wife is debating something he didn't say. And then she'll say something, or he'll say something to the effect, see, Antoine, did you hear that? Actually, I didn't hear that. How did you get all that out of that? The problem is that they're not listening to one another. Yeah, there's a lot of communication. There's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of words exchanged, but nobody is listening because they don't know how to hear. If your husband is telling you something that you don't agree with, then how about listening, getting an understanding, and then coming up with your response rather than already formulating your response during the course of his speech or formulating your response during the course of her speech? Because if you're formulating your response and figuring out how you're going to respond before this person has even finished talking, then guess what? You didn't hear them. You're not listening. The reason why we have a problem in religion is because people don't know how to hear. The Bible is clear, but we've already made up our mind what we're going to believe before we even open the book. And that's why we have confusion in religion today. One of the biggest problems we have is not generic hearing. It's not that hearing loss is the reason why people are confused in religion, but it's selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. You go to the car dealership and you want to buy a car. And the salesman says, you like that car, don't you? Oh, it's a nice car. If you're really in the market, tell me how much you have available to put down. And you say, well, you know, I have about $2,700. Which one you think he heard? When you said $200, he wasn't hearing that. He heard the $700. So every time he talks to you from this point forward, he's making decisions based upon the $700. Well, yeah, if you put down $700, I can get you in this car for $300 a month. Well, no, I want to put down two. No, you told me you had seven. No, I said I had $700. He heard $700. He heard what he wanted to hear. You know, even I struggled with that in my marriage because I used to work in Newport News, Virginia, but I lived in Norfolk. And what separates Newport News, Virginia and Norfolk is a bridge in Hampton, Virginia. And it's called the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. And what it is that you start up over top of Chesapeake And then all of a sudden this bridge goes underneath the Chesapeake and you're in a tunnel. And then you, once you come about the tunnel, you're in Norfolk. Okay? Well, at the time I get off from work, what will happen is that people get tunnel phobia. That means traffic is fine until they get to Hampton and everybody starts taking their time and it becomes a crawl. But once you come up out the tunnel, all of a sudden you're just like, where's the accident? Why was this so backed up for the past hour? It's because people fear going into that tunnel. So I would call my wife before I, come home, and I said, honey, I'm on my way home from work. You know, she was like, oh, I can't wait to see you. And I said, well, do you want me to pick up something for you and the kids to eat? Do you want me to do anything? Is there any errands you need for me to run while I'm out? Because when I come home, I'm home. It's been a long day. I'm not looking to go back outside. All the day. No, honey, just come on home. I just can't wait to see my baby. Come on home. So, I just come on. I'm going through the tunnel. I'm sitting through traffic. I come through the house. I get inside the door. Hey, sweetie, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm so glad you made it home. And we talk, and I sit down, and I watch a little bit of TV, pick up the Bible, do some studying, getting ready for Sunday, all of these things. And then, kiss the kids goodnight. Now, this has happened for about 4 hours in the house. And then all of a sudden, we hop in bed, and I say, goodnight, honey. And she says, goodnight. And then about 15 minutes, she goes, Antoine, you up? I said, Yeah, what's going on? Listen, she said, I was thinking, you think you can go to, Hardee's and pick me up something? And I don't move. Antoine, did you hear me? And I don't move. Because technically, I didn't hear her, because as she was talking, I was thinking about when I called you at 4 and asked you if you wanted anything. And when I was enrolled and I was stuck in traffic and I asked you, did you want anything? You didn't say, you said you didn't want anything. Now you're telling me you want it. I'm not hearing this. Selective hearing. And don't you know this is what we do in religion? You told me I needed to hear the word and I needed to believe and I needed to confess and I needed to be baptized. I'm not this living faithful. I'm not trying to hear that, Jesus. Book, chapter, and verse for everything I believe. I'm not trying to hear that. I did this. Now I got to do that. I'm not trying to hear that. That's why there's so much confusion. We hear what we want to hear. Listen to your Bible. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. I want us to read the first part of that. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Hear the words of Jesus. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. Then in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, he says something similar, but he uses a different word. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus says, take care then how you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. Be careful how you hear it. This is what the Lord is telling us. He's telling us once again, pay attention to what you hear and be careful how you hear it. See, we need to be careful when preachers tell us you are okay just the way you are. Understand that if we were okay just the way we are, then Jesus died in vain because we weren't okay just the way we were. Jesus had to come to take care of our problems. I tell the young people in D.C. because I try to sound hip somewhat, and I say, Jesus was hung up for our hangups that we might receive the hookup. Now, all the older members, they were just like, what? What is he talking about? But all the young people are just like, yeah, I get that. You know what I'm saying? Even though we probably haven't heard the word hookup in in a long time. But that's what happened. Jesus was hung up because we had some hangups that we might receive the hookup. That was his whole mission. He died because we had some issues. And because of these issues, he died. But because he died, we're going to be blessed if we receive him. That's what it's all about. We have to be careful what we hear. We have to be careful how we hear it. Because we must understand that many in religion are in the business of telling lies if a person can be made good in the lies that we tell. You ever notice that? People have all kinds of little sayings. I heard a preacher one time say something and people just said amen. And I was just blown away because folks say things and feel that they don't even have the need to have to quote scripture. That the Bible is just a supplement to whatever the preacher says. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, my doctrine may not be right, but my heart is. And people say, amen. No, if your doctrine is not right, your heart's not right. But everybody agreed with that statement. Heard another preacher on radio say, you know, anybody that tells you believe and is a heretic. Well, I guess Jesus was a heretic because he said he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But people sat there and amen that comment. It makes no sense. Because we hear what we want to hear. Because we don't know how to hear. We're selective with our hearing. We need to have our minds on God. We need to use our heads. The reason why people are getting over on us when it comes to this Bible and when it comes to religion is because we have stopped thinking. We think when we drive. We think when we go to school. We think when we go home. We think when we go to work. We think in everything we do. And then when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we all of a sudden lose our minds. We turn the switch off. And just accept what somebody else says. We need to have our minds on the Lord. We need to have our minds on what we are doing. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God, get this now, with my mind. But with my flesh I serve the law of sin. The devil is in the business of hoodwinking and snookering us and bamboozling us. But we need to have our minds on what the Word of God says. All these psychics talking about if you send me this money, I'll tell you what the numbers are going to be for the Powerball lottery in Kentucky or in Nashville. And people send their money and call this person and just use your head. If this person knew the number, wouldn't they play the number themselves? Why would I be trying to nickel and dime humanity if I already had the answer to get myself out of poverty? Preacher on TV one time says, you know what, I know we're going through a recession, but God told me to tell you to pray over this oil. And this oil is called debt cancellation oil. If you send me $19.95, I will send you this oil. And your debt will go away. And I thought, you know what? The only person's debt that's going to go away is his. If he can sucker a million people to send him $19.95, then his debt goes away. But your debt just got worse by $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Do you hear what I hear? If we think about it for a moment, and trust in the Word of God, then Jesus makes all the sense in the world. See, if we keep our minds on what pleases God rather than on what pleases us, then we can cease being participants in our own deception. We need to learn how to hear. Because if we don't know how to hear, then we are going to always be in a state of chaos. But my second and final point on this afternoon is this. Many do not know how to hear, but many are not careful in what they hear. See, we want to hear things generically and be accepted in that. You know, I just moved into this subdivision, and my wife says, you know what, you need to sign up to be on the board of directors. I said, no, they'll never vote me in. She says, sure, go ahead and sign up. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, fine, I'll do this. I'll never get voted in. Well, not only did I get voted in, but they made me the president of my own homeowner association. And now I get all kinds of requests. How come I can't build this fence? How come I can't build this deck? And I'm just like, Calgon, take me away. This is just too much.
Now they want me to serve for 3 years, so I done told the church, I said, you got to at least keep me for 3 years because I got to fulfill my commitment with them. You know, but the thing is that, you know, when it comes to hearing things, what we do is that we want to hear things generically. So one of the things was that in this particular meeting, you know, God looked at my resume and he says, hey, it's good to have another believer in the community, another person that's a brother in Christ. And I knew what he was talking about. He's one of these evangelicals. And I said, oh, wow. I said, you're a Christian. Then let's get together and have a Bible study. And he goes, yeah, whatever. You know, so it's just like, well, wait a minute. You know, what is this, just some type of fraternity that we can just sit there and say, hey, you're a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer, too. We're all believers. Yay, we're believers. And don't want to do the things that believers do. Same thing with the gospel. Oh, you accepted the gospel? I accepted the gospel. Hey, we all accepted the gospel. Yeah, great. Yeah, you know, he accepted the gospel. I accepted the gospel. You know, gospel is good news, right? We're all gospel people. We obey the gospel. Well, okay, well, I did this. We didn't do all that because, you know, that's not a part of the gospel. Well, the Bible teaches that, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You have your faith, I have mine. So let's go our separate ways. Now, that's not the mentality of somebody who is really a part of the gospel. See, not everybody in religion who claims to bring the gospel is bringing the gospel. So we have to be careful what we hear. Oh, he really brought the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves. We use this word gospel and we throw it around to the extent that it's losing its meaning in the world. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's the word of God, but now all of a sudden we want to attach it to music. Oh, I listen to gospel music. Oh, I read a gospel paper. I bought my suit from a gospel menswear store. You know what I'm saying? I bought my dress from a gospel seamstress. You know what I'm saying? We just attach gospel to everything. We can't do that. Either it's of God or it's not of God. Either it's in the book or it's not in the book. So everybody that claims to be bringing the gospel is not bringing the gospel. And this is not a 21st century issue. This was a first century issue. Hear the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. The Bible reads, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Then he says, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and would distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to them, let them be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? He is saying, if you hear something different than what we've already told you, don't believe it. He said, even if I come back giving you a different message than you believed, don't receive it, because there is no such thing as another gospel. Either you obeyed it or you didn't obey it. There is only one gospel. When the Bible uses that definite article, the, you know what that means? It means one and only. You know what one really means? That you don't have a choice. Wives, if your husband only owns one suit and he woke up this morning and he's standing in front of his closet doing this, and you say, honey, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to wear. Wouldn't you think that his elevator has skipped the floor? Wouldn't you think that his driveway doesn't go all the way to the street? If he only has one suit, and this morning he's struggling to try to figure out which one he's going to wear. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. Why are we trying to figure out which one we're going to obey? There is only one. And humanity needs to understand that. The Bible further expounds upon this point in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." This is what the Bible says. People are going to be insincere. They're going to be liars. They're going to cause people to depart from the faith because they're going to teach things that are apart and separate from the Word of God. Notice that Jesus has one doctrine. The devil has many doctrines. Because Jesus is in the business of bringing people to Him. And He knows who is honest because His gospel is the same. His message is the same. It is the truth. And one thing about the truth is that the truth never changes. If you did something today and you did it right and somebody asked you what you did, that story never changes for years to come. The thing about lying is that you have to remember the lie you told. And that lie changes and it alters time in and time out. And the devil is in the business of lying. The Bible teaches us in John chapter 8, verse 44, where Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you would do, because he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it on his own, because the devil is a liar, and he is the father of it." He is in the business of lying. Either we obey the truth, or we have obeyed a lie. But if we have obeyed the truth, then wouldn't we all be practicing the same thing, worshiping God the same way, doing things His way and not our way? If you hear what I hear and I hear what you hear, if we're hearing the same thing, then we should be doing the same thing. We should believe the same thing. We should understand what thus saith the Lord. But the Bible teaches that the devil is a liar. He will do whatever it takes to get you. If you're afraid of water, he has a religion in which you don't have to make contact with it. If you want to get married, divorced, and remarried whenever you have the need or whenever you feel like it, you want to change out your husbands every 4 years. I mean, if you want to do that, there's a religion that would allow you to do that. And the devil doesn't mind if this church doesn't bother that church because they all believe different things and they all believe different lies. Why? Because his purpose is being fulfilled. Because there are doctrines of demons. That's plural. That means that the devil has a word for this group and this group and this group and this group, this group. Whatever you want to do, there's a church for it. If you want to be able to play with stakes and people not think you crazy, there's a church for that. Whatever you want to do. God speaks openly to all men through his word. And God doesn't speak secretly. That's another thing. Whatever you hear, I hear it. There's no such thing that, well, God told me, so I have to tell you. Well, where did God say it? Well, God only speaks to me. God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to speak to you and not speak to everybody else. He has an open message for everybody to hear. Do you hear what I hear? If it's in the Bible, we have to do it. It's God's word. We have to obey it. We have to live according to it. That's why it's time for us to pick up the book and read so that other individuals do not come along and tell us things that Jesus did not say, that God did not say, that the Holy Spirit did not move men to say. If God said it, then we all heard it and can find it. We all need to obey it. Do you hear what I hear? God is not in the business of sending conflicting messages. Jesus is the head. As the church, we are the body. How far can the body go if the head is sending conflicting messages throughout the body? If the head is in the forest with this body and a bear starts charging the body, and the head says to the arms, it is time to boogie. We got to go. But then the head sends a message to the legs, no, stand your ground. Fight the bear. You know what? That bear can pause, put on a napkin, gets his knife and fork ready, and start saying the blessing because he's about to fare sumptuously on somebody because the head is sending conflicting messages. That's not how the body operates. That's not how our Jesus operates. When he sends a word, he sends it to each and every one of us. He doesn't send conflicting messages. He gives the word to everybody because everybody is to obey it. Our God is not a God of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Jesus has spoken, and we are all going to be judged by his word, and his word is found in his Bible, according to John chapter 12, verse 48. So let us hear Jesus and do what he says so he can call us wise at his appearing. Where do you stand on this afternoon? When it comes to salvation, do you hear what I hear? I hear that we have to hear the word of God. That's what Jesus said, John 6, 45. It is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father. Jesus says, you can come to me. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you hear what I hear? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. The Bible doesn't say faith comes by having heard. Oh, I heard him this morning, so I'm not going to be back this afternoon. I heard him on Sunday, so you won't see me for the rest of the week. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing, something that we constantly have to do. Do you hear what I hear? We have to believe what we heard. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you hear what I hear? Well, I can please God, but I don't believe everything the Bible has to say. Do you hear what I hear? If we don't diligently seek God, and if we don't believe in God, and if we don't seek him and believe that he is who he says he is, then we are not pleasing to him no matter what you think. Do you hear what I hear? We need to repent. We need to give up sin. We need to give it up. We need to have a mind to give up sin. And see, and this is why the plan of salvation is what it is. And any other plan falls short on its face because it does not adequately deal and addresses the problem of sin. See, Jesus died on the cross to deliver us from the penalty of sin. And there's a reason why we have to hear the word of God. You know why? Because hearing the word of God destroys the ignorance of sin. People sin because they don't understand that them shacking up is sin. But when they hear the word of God makes it clear. Do you hear what I hear? A lot of people fornicate. Why? Because, you know, I got to sow my wild oats. I have to try some things out. I mean, if she doesn't please me, why would I make a commitment to a woman that if she can't please me in this way, then, you know, I'm stuck in a marriage with a woman that can't please me. The Bible teaches that fornication is a sin. The Bible teaches that adultery is a sin. Do you hear what I hear? We have to believe the word of God. You know why we have to believe what we hear? Because believing destroys the love of sin. What did the psalmist say in Psalms 119, verse 104 and verse 128? He says, through your precepts I get an understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The only way we can hate sin is if we hear about sin and believe that there is such thing, that God means what he says and says what he means. This is why we have to believe it. Because it destroys the love of sin. The reason why we have to repent is because repentance destroys the practice of sin. There's a whole lot of people that know that sin is bad. There's a whole lot of people that as a result of what sin is doing to them, they hate it, but they're still addicted to it. Well, I've been sinning my whole life. Well, if you want to be saved from sin, you got to give up sin. Well, can't I just wean off sin? You know, can I just wean off it? You know, ask your wife how that works if you've had an affair with multiple women. Oh, honey, I repent, but you know, I've been sleeping with a different woman every night, so can I just come back to about four and then, you know, drop to two and then drop to one until I'm completely weaned off these other extramarital affairs? Doesn't quite work that way, does it? Repentance means give it up. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Sin is killing us. It's destroying us. We are decaying every day because of sin. Salvation is our only solution to the sin problem. And Jesus demands that repentance is a part of the plan. Stop sinning. We have to confess Christ. You ever know why we have to confess Christ? Because confessing Christ, we destroy the allegiance to sin. We destroy the allegiance to sin. Do you hear what I hear? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." If we pledge our allegiance to Jesus, then we have destroyed our allegiance to sin. But if we fail to pledge our allegiance to Jesus, then what we are telling the world is that we still are committed to sin. Either we're going to be slaves to righteousness or we're going to be slaves to unrighteousness. Being a slave to unrighteousness will land us in hell, separated from God for all eternity. Being a slave of righteousness will land us in heaven, a place where there's no more sickness, sorrow, or pain. Wouldn't you want to go to a place like that? A place where all your problems are gone away. Where our God will wipe away all of our tears. A place where we can be in his presence uninterrupted for all eternity. Knowing that serving him faithfully in this life was all worth it. No matter about the persecution, no matter about the pain, no matter about the back talk, we pledge our allegiance to Christ. Do you hear what I hear? We need to be baptized. We need to be immersed in water. You know why? Because baptism destroys the status of sin. It's only through baptism that we go from being sinners to saints. It's in baptism that we go down a child of the devil and we come up a child of God. Well, why do I have to be baptized? It's cold. You know, in D.C., you know, we get a lot of women that pay $200-$300 to get their hair done. And then when you talk to them about the gospel, listen, preacher, you know, I mean, you maybe don't understand that, but, you know, I know you're married to a black woman, so, you know, I just got my hair done. You know, I can't get my hair wet. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to redo your do. How you going to stand before God and say, you know what I'm saying, I just got my hair done that Friday. If he had talked to me Thursday about the gospel, you know I would have dipped. I would have gone in. But you know, maybe when I got to get my hair done again in 2 weeks, then we could talk about the Lord. No, do you hear what I hear? You got to do it. Naaman had the same problem. What, I got to dip into Jordan 7 times to get rid of my leprosy? Forget that. Isn't the water in Damascus a lot better than this water right here? No, if you want to be saved, you got to do what the Lord says. You got to go in by his authority. And it's amazing that if God had asked us to do some great thing, but he doesn't ask us to do a great thing. Don't you know that which he tells us to do for salvation are little simple things that we do on a daily basis and we don't think anything of it, but when it comes to salvation, we want to question it? If you turn on your radio and you hear something, aren't you hearing? When CNN says something or Fox News says something or whatever news outlet you listen to something, either you believe it or you don't believe it. If you're driving in your car and you say, how come we haven't gotten to this place yet where you're going the wrong way, you need to turn around. Don't we get in the car and we turn around and go the other way? That's repentance. You know, we make all kinds of confessions all the time. You know, Kentucky Wildcats is the best basketball team in the world. You know, many of us confess that. Robert Morris thinks differently. But we make confessions all the time, don't we? When it comes to baptism, anybody in here ever had a bath? Anybody in here take baths? Oh, nobody in here takes baths. Okay, I understand. But we make contact with water all the time. And if God says you make contact with water by my authority, I'll wash away your sins, you can't ask for a better deal than that. He makes it simple. Do you hear what I hear? He doesn't require that we jump through fire. He doesn't require that we run around this podium 17 times, yelling, speaking in tongues, and do a holy dance, and then he doesn't ask us to do all that. He don't require that of us. Don't you know it is harder to be a Baptist than it is to be a Christian? Did you know that? Oh, y'all didn't know that? Don't you know that the Ethiopian eunuch would never have been saved under Baptist doctrine? Because after you make the confession, before you're baptized, it has to come down to a vote. They said, this person has decided to become a Christian. This person has decided to become a child of God. This person has decided to place membership with us. This person is a candidate for baptism. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay. In that situation in Acts 8, you had three in attendance. You had Philip the preacher. He can't vote because he's the preacher. You have the Ethiopian eunuch. He's the candidate. He can't vote because he's the candidate. The only other object that was there that could cast a vote was the horse. And the only thing a horse can say is nay. The Ethiopian eunuch could not be saved under Baptist doctrine. But aren't you glad that you can't read about a Baptist in the Bible? Aren't you glad you can't read about a Pentecostal in the Bible? Well, hold on, preacher, because I had somebody tell me this one day. They said, you know, Pentecostal's always been around. I said, really? I said, show me that in the Bible. They said, Acts 2. I said, read that for me. They said, when the day of Pentecost fully come. I said, that don't help you. I said, it didn't say when the Pentecostals came to dance. Pentecost is a day. It didn't say when the Pentecostals came to shout. Pentecost is a day, not a series of religious beliefs. Do you hear what I hear? Do it God's way. Do it God's way. When it comes to salvation, there is nothing mystical, twistical, or incomprehensible about the word of the living God. Everybody can obey it. Everybody can understand it. If my 11-year-old and my 9-year-old can understand it, then you can understand it. They're some of the most evangelistic people I know. My 9-year-old decided to go to Walmart, and she had a bunch of tracks with her. So she's sitting in line, and she looked at the lady behind her and said, how you doing, ma'am? I would like for you to come to church with me. And the lady was like, well, I already go to church. And then my 9-year-old said, well, is it the Lord's church? And she said, well, tell me about the Lord's church. And she said, well, in the Lord's church, you have to do what the Bible says in order to be saved. And she went through worship, and she went through all this. 9 years old. That lady got so frustrated with my 9-year-old daughter, she gave her $5 and said, go away. But the Bible's simple, that even a child can understand. Do it God's way. Do you hear what I hear? If you don't hear what I hear, then why don't you hear what I hear? What's keeping you from just simply obeying what thus saith the Lord? You've heard it, believe it. If you believe it, do something about it. Give up sin. Pledge your allegiance to Jesus. Be washed in that watery grave of baptism. Have your sins washed away, and God will forgive you of your sins. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he will add you to his church, the only church that you could read about in the Bible. That church is the church of Christ. Don't you know Jesus said he was going to build that church in Matthew 16, 18? He built that church in Acts chapter 2. Purchased it with his blood according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Adds the saved to it according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Why not become a member of a going church for a coming Lord, which does all that the Lord authorizes? You may be a Christian. Do you hear what I hear? When it comes to edification, oh, we have elders for that. No, everybody's supposed to be doing that. That's our work. Do you hear what I hear? Well, when it comes to evangelism, we have Curtis here. That's what we pay him for, to evangelize. No, that's everybody's job. Do you hear what I hear? We're supposed to study the Bible. We're supposed to read the Bible, the Word of God. Well, I got work to do. I'm too busy to read what thus saith the Lord. No, we're all supposed to read this Bible. Do you hear what I hear? Even when it comes to attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25 is still in the book. Do you hear what I hear? I laugh when I tell people, I said, why are you leaving early? You know, you need to stick around and so forth. Well, my child has homework. Well, my child has homework too. You need to stick around. Well, no, you have to stay here because you're the preacher. I said, really? So if I just resign, I don't have to attend worship services no more? No, no, you know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean. Do you hear what I hear? Listen, the Bible is right. Cannot be wrong. God has given us information that is engrafted, is the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. If we hear his word and do it, he'll call us wise. And I think Jesus knows a little something about wisdom. Don't you think so? If we hear his word and don't do it, then we're foolish. Where are you building your house? On the sure, solid rock foundation of God's word, will, and way? Or on sandy ground? If you're a member here and some of your actions can be classified as foolish, this is your opportunity to come forward. If you're not a Christian and you need to obey the gospel, you need to start believing the Bible only, following Christ only, not Christ and, not the Bible and, just the Bible. If you want to be a Christian, not a hyphenated Christian, not a Pentecostal Christian, not a Baptist Christian, not a Methodist Christian, because if you're any of those things, then you're just too much. Be just a Christian only, nothing more, nothing less, because this is all the Bible talks about, are Christians. Be one. Obey the gospel right here, right now, while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.